If you have your Bibles this morning, let's turn to the Gospel of Matthew, the 19th chapter. Matthew chapter 19. The message title this morning is More About Jesus or More About You. More About Jesus or More About You from Matthew 19, beginning at verse 16 through 22. Let's read together, beginning at verse 16. It says, Behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is, God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandment. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possession. Randy, would you lead us in a word of prayer? Amen. Every day, friends, we have to decide who or what our life is going to be about. Is our life going to be about Jesus, or is our life going to be about us? Now, I'm going to tell you something. That is not a choice that you just make one time in your life and the issues just settle. But rather, this is a choice that we are faced with every single day. When you get up out of bed every day, you have to decide, who am I living for today? Am I living for him, or am I going to live for me? John the Baptist, that old boy, he was definitely a guy whose life was about Jesus. He was definitely a guy whose life was not about John the Baptist. It was all about Jesus. I want to read you something that he said in John chapter 3, verse 30 and 31. Listen to what John said concerning Jesus. He said this. He said, He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. Now, friends, that is the attitude every child of God should be seeking to have every single day. He must increase and we must decrease because, indeed, Jesus is not only from above, Jesus is above all things, exactly as John the Baptist said. But I promise you, friends, doing this and putting this into practice is a lot easier said than done. Oh, yes, the Spirit indeed is willing, isn't it? What does the Word of God say? It says, but the flesh is weak. And it is our weakness in the flesh that causes us to often put ourselves above the Lord. Well, our text today is about a man who could not put Jesus above himself. And his problem with this was so bad, I'm going to just be honest, I don't believe he was even saved. But you know, even those of us who are saved, we still struggle daily with putting the Lord above selves and making our lives about him rather than about us. So this morning I want to take a closer look at this text because in this text it shows us some warning signs of a person who is putting self over the Lord. And today if you find that any of these things are true of you, then I'm going to tell you, you better find your way to this altar this morning and you better do some real soul searching about your relationship with Jesus if any of these things you find to be true of you. So what does the rich man teach us about a person whose life is more about them than it is about Jesus? Well, let's consider a few things this morning. And the first thing I would point out here is the fact that this rich young man desired to have a religion rather than a relationship with Jesus Christ. Notice the first thing this guy says to Jesus in verse 16. Verse 16, he says what? He says, what good thing must I do that I may inherit eternal life. Now, upon hearing that question, Jesus tells him he must keep the commandments. And so he asks Jesus, he says, well, which ones? And so Jesus proceeds to give him a list of all the commandments that he must keep. But look at the response to what Jesus said in verse 20, after Jesus gives him the list of commandments to keep. Listen to what he says in verse 20. It says, the young man saith unto him, all these things, listen to this, all these things have I kept from my youth up. First of all, let me just say, no, he didn't. No, he didn't. What does it say in the book of James, verse 10, or chapter 2, verse 10? It says, if you keep the whole law and you offend in one point, guess what? You're guilty of all. You're guilty of every single bit of it if you have offended in one point. Amen. This old boy was lying through his teeth when he said what he said here. I'll say this, he may have been well-intentioned. He may have tried to keep the law. He may have wanted to keep the law, but I'll promise you he didn't. And any attempt he made to keep the law, he was far from perfect. Let me tell you what the Word of God says. The Word of God says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Guess what? That includes this old boy right here. The Word of God also says that there is none that doeth good, no, not one. It says that all have fallen short of God's glory. That includes this young man. You see, this young man, he was just like everyone else in that he was a sinner who was far from God. He was a sinner, and let's just be honest, in his lost state, he was the enemy of God. And when he said that he had done all of these things, well, let me tell you something, he was lying. He was lying. He had not. Trust me, friends, when I say that I want to keep the Word of God, I want to keep what it says, I want to do what it says, and I want to do it perfectly, but I'm going to tell you the truth, I don't. You see, I'm in the same boat Paul was in Romans chapter 7 when he said, how to perform that which is good, I find not. Guess what? I ain't figured out how to do it yet either. And neither did this guy. Let me tell you something. The only person he was fooling when he said this was himself. I don't think Jesus was fooled for a second. Jesus knew the truth. Jesus knew he was boasting here. Jesus knew he wasn't telling the truth. Jesus knew he was just fooling himself because Jesus knew the truth. He was a sinner. He may have tried real hard, friends, to keep the commandments, but I guarantee you he hadn't. He was a religious person. Let me tell you what I have found about religious people. You ready for this? And if you're a religious person and I insult you this morning, I don't know what to tell you, but I'm just going to tell you the truth. What I have found about religious people, they're still like the religious elites that existed in Jesus' day. They're arrogant. They are. They're arrogant. Every single religious person I have ever met, they are arrogant. They lack humility. They are self-righteous. They are pious. They think they're better than everybody else. Those are what religious people are. And let me tell you something about religious people. They're easy to spot. You want to know why? Because I'm going to tell you what they do. Religious people spend all their time talking about what they have done for the Lord rather than bragging about what the Lord has done for them. And the reason they do this is the fact that they are trusting in what they are doing for the Lord to get them to heaven rather than trusting in Jesus and His work on the cross. You see, religious people like to think they're better than everybody else because they foolishly think that they are worthy of heaven all on their own based on the things that they have done for God. You see, they don't want to admit that they're sinners who need a Savior. But rather, they want to think they're good enough all on their own to get to heaven. That's a religious person. Well, friends, I'm going to tell you real straight something this morning. You ready for this? I am not religious. I am not one little bit religious. I'm not trying to be religious. I don't want to be religious. I'm going to tell you what I am. I am born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what I am. I'm a born-again follower of Jesus, a sinner saved by God's glorious grace. That's what I am. And you know what? Because of that, I owe Him everything. I owe Him everything. And I am trusting Him and Him only for my salvation. But today, if you find you're more interested in boasting about what you're doing for Him rather than bragging about what He's done for you, well, I'm going to tell you something. You're a person in the same boat as this rich guy. You're putting your religion over your relationship with Jesus. And I promise you, your life is definitely more about you than it is about him. This ain't the only problem this old boy had, because next we see that the things of this world were more important to him than the things of God. Look at verse 21, the very first part of the verse. He says, "What lack I yet?" And Jesus said unto him, verse 21, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast." Now, let me just say this real quick. Obviously, this old boy's religion wasn't getting the job done. Deep down, he knew his religious efforts were failing. How do I know that? Well, if he didn't know that deep down inside, he wouldn't have said what he said in verse 20 when he looked at Jesus after saying, "Well, I've tried to keep all those commandments." He said, "I have kept all those commandments." And then he said, "But what do I lack?" You know why he said that? Because he knew there was something missing. He knew despite his best effort and his best days, something still wasn't right between him and the Lord. And so he asked Jesus, he said, "What do I lack?" He knew something was lacking. He was hoping Jesus would tell him what he needed to do. But I'll promise you, the answer Jesus gave him here was neither the answer he expected nor the answer he was looking for. I think he was hoping Jesus was going to tell him something simple, but that ain't what Jesus said. Jesus said, "Go sell everything you have." I mean, you would do that. That'd be tough, wouldn't it? Now, I'm going to tell y'all real straight. We're saved by the grace of God through faith. And that has held true since the beginning of man's time here on this earth. We're not saved by giving everything, by selling everything we have. We're not saved by giving things away. We're not saved by doing that. So if that's the truth, why did Jesus tell him here in verse 21, "Go sell everything you got"? Well, Jesus did this to show the man the truth about himself. You see, the truth was, friends, and Jesus knew this, his money and his possessions would always be more important to him than Jesus. But if our lives are truly about him, then he has to be more important to us than our money, than our possessions, than the things of this world. And I'm going to tell you, if Jesus is not more important to us than the things of this world, then let me ask you this. What does that make the things of the world? Think about this for just a second. If the things of the world are more important to you than him, then what have the things of the world become? An idol. That's exactly what the thing... You realize money can be an idol? You realize a material possession can be an idol? Do you realize glory and fame from the world? Those things, that can be an idol? Those things are addictive too. And a lot of people are seeking those things, but when those things become more important to us than him, those things become our God. Well, didn't God say in his word that we're to have no other gods before him? Well, this was the rich man's problem, friends. His money and his things were his God. And because they ruled his life, Jesus never would. And so Jesus told him this, not because selling everything that we have is a condition of salvation, but Jesus told him this because truly yielding ourselves and making Jesus the master and Lord of our life is a condition of true salvation. See, a person whose life is more about them than it is about Jesus is a person who desires religion over a relationship with Jesus. People who view the things of this world as being more important to them than Jesus are also people whose lives are more important to them than they are Jesus. And this brings us to the third problem this rich boy had, and that is his life would always be more about himself than Jesus because, listen to me, he had no interest in doing anything for anyone but himself. Look on in verse 21. Jesus said unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor." Sell it all and give it to the poor. Now, I'm going to make you a guarantee that this guy had never helped anyone. This guy wasn't interested in helping anyone. How do I know this? Well, I know this because if I'd have been this guy and Jesus told me, "Go sell everything you got and give it to the poor," if I was already doing things for the poor, you know what my answer would have been? Well, Lord, I'm already doing a great deal for the poor. I already give a lot of my money. I'm already very compassionate. I'm already helping out a lot of ministries. I'm already doing all these things. But he doesn't say that, does he? Why? Because he wasn't doing it. That's why. He doesn't argue. He doesn't say, I'm already doing this. No, because he wasn't. He wasn't doing anything with his wealth for anyone but himself. Because if he had been, I believe he would have said to Jesus, and after Jesus said this, he would have said, well, Lord, I already am. So let me ask a question here. What does helping others have to do with whether or not our lives are more about us or more about him? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because what did Jesus say in Matthew 25, verse 40? He said this. He said, what you have done to the least of these, you have done unto me. So guess what? When we're apathetic towards others who are struggling and others who are suffering and others who are mourning, guess what? We're in fact being apathetic toward him. When we ignore the plight of those in need, especially, pardon me, those that we have the opportunity to help, guess what? We are in fact ignoring him. Now I'm going to say something about helping others. You ready for this? You can smile, you can laugh when I say this. I know for a fact, no good deed goes unpunished. That's fact. Now, that's not biblical, but it's true. Okay, and how do I know that? Because I've helped a lot of people in my life that never said thank you, that acted like I owed it to them, and I've even helped a few that turned on me like a rabid dog after I got done helping them. Heck, there was a lady come in here in this church one day, it's been probably 10 years ago, told me she needed help, lied through her teeth about where she was from, told me she needed gas. I sent a guy over to the gas station over here with the church credit card to get her a tank of gas to help her out. And how did she repay me? She come back while church was going on, broke in my locked office and stole my computer. You know how many times things like that have happened to me? A bunch. You know, I'll be honest with you, there's times that stuff happens, I just think to myself, I'm done, I ain't helping nobody. I give up, and I'll go pout about it a little bit, and then the Lord will speak to me and deal with me, and he'll get me lined back out. Yeah, I know today there are so many people so unthankful. But I'm going to tell you something, that don't mean we can ignore them. That don't mean we can refuse to help them. Because you see, friends, what we do or don't do for others, we do or don't do to him. And if your life is more about you, then you, like the rich man, will be selfish with what you have, and you'll refuse to use it for God's glory. You'll refuse to use it to help others and to minister to others. But if your life is more about him, then I think you'll begin to see people the way he does, and you'll try to do everything you can to minister to people and help people and treat them like you're treating Jesus himself. People whose lives are more about them than it is about Jesus are people who desire a religion over a relationship with Christ. They are people who view the material things of this world as being more important to them than Jesus. They are people who have no interest in doing anything for anyone else but themselves. But there's more, because next we see that this man's life was more about him than it was about Jesus, because he refused to yield himself to Jesus as the master and Lord of his life. Let's read verse 21 again. Let's read the whole thing this time. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. He says, and come and follow me. Get rid of all your worldly things, Jesus said. Let me tell you what he's really saying. Get rid of all the distractions. Is there anything in your life today keeping you distracted from the things of God? Think about that for a second. Let me give you some advice. If there's anything in your life today that's distracting you from the Lord, do what Jesus told this boy to do. Get rid of it. It ain't worth having if it's distracting you from him. And that's what Jesus said. Get rid of all the distractions. Give it all to the poor. Help your fellow man. And then Jesus said, come and follow me. But even though this is what Jesus told him, this poor old boy couldn't do it. Let me tell you why. Because he wanted to be in charge of his own life. He wanted to be the master of his own life because he wanted to retain control of his own life. And therefore, he could not surrender everything to Jesus and allow Jesus to have complete control over everything in his life. Now, let's think back for a minute to the Lord's Prayer for a second. In that prayer, remember what Jesus taught us to pray? What did he teach us to pray? He said, Lord, thy will be done. Yes, Lord, thy will be done. Let me tell you something. If you are truly a person whose life is more about Jesus than it is about yourself, then you are going to be a person who is not only seeking God's will in all things, but who is yielded to God's will in all things. Even, get this, when his will isn't yours. Let me tell you something. If you are truly going to pray and truly say, Lord, thy will be done in my life, I promise you, you get praying about that, God will show you what his will is for your life. But you better prepare yourself, because I promise you, there's going to be a lot of times God's will isn't going to be your will. And I'm going to tell you something, I pray, because I pray about God's will every day. When I pray about God's will, I'm like, Lord, I need you to show me your will. I need you to get my life in the center of your will. Help me be the person you want me to be, that you designed me to be, that you called me to be. Help me, Lord, to get right where you want me to be. And Lord, if there's anything in my life that is not where it ought to be, then Lord, help me to fix it. And I do. I pray, Lord, nudge me gentle if you can. But Lord, if you got to get a 2x4 out and smack me upside the head with it to get me where you want me, do that too. I don't care. I just want your will to be done. And I pray to the Lord, and Lord, when your will is not my will, Lord, give me the wisdom and give me the maturity as a believer to yield myself and do your will rather than trying to do my own. That's hard to do. I'm not going to kid you, it's hard to do, but we got to do it. If you're a person whose life is more about you than it is about him, and I'm telling you, you're only going to be worried about what you want to do. What's that other part of the Lord's Prayer? Remember it? For thine is the kingdom. That's toward the end of the prayer. Thine is the kingdom. You know what that means when you pray that? It means you are acknowledging that everything belongs to the Lord, to include you. You're saying, Lord, thine is the kingdom. What you're saying is everything that you are, everything that you have belongs to him. You see, the kingdom and his creation is all his. He has divine ownership over everything, friends, and that includes your life. And if your life is truly about him, then you will acknowledge his divine ownership over your life, and you will allow him to do whatever he wants to do in your life, because you acknowledge, hey, Lord, you own this. You own me. I am yours. Do what you want. That's a hard prayer to pray, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to talk about this in a minute. You'd be a whole lot better off if you just do it. Whole lot better off if you just do it. If your life is more about you, you're going to be a person who continually fights the Lord for control of your life. What are you? Are you completely yielded to him, or are you fighting him for control today? You know the answer to that question. But let me tell you this. People whose lives are more about them than it is about Jesus are people who want a religion rather than a relationship. They are people who view the material things of this world as being more important to them than Jesus is. They are people who have no interest in doing anything for anyone but themselves. And they are people who are refusing to yield complete and total control of their lives over to Jesus. And this brings me to one last point, and that is, that people whose lives are more about them than it is about Jesus are people who lack real joy. Amen. Let me just say it real plain. They're miserable. They're miserable. Look at verse 22. It says, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possession, and he couldn't put Jesus over his possession. I want you to think about this. This guy had everything the world said was important. He had money. He had wealth. He probably had a big fancy home. I mean, he probably had everything anybody could want. He probably held a prominent position in society because he had money. He probably had some power because he had money. He had everything the world says is important, and yet he was miserable. Miserable. You see, friends, let me just tell you the truth about every person. And this, I'm speaking mainly about lost people. Do you know there's a hole in their lives? There is. And I don't think some of them are smart enough to realize there's a hole in their life, but they know there's something missing. This guy knew something was missing, didn't he? Otherwise, why did he come to Jesus? And when he said, well, Lord, what do I need to do that I can have eternal life? There's that religion thing. Lord, it's about what I'm doing, not what you've done. Jesus said, well, keep the commandments. Oh, I've done it perfectly. And then he says this, what do I lack? Why did he say it? Because he knew there's something missing. There was this giant hole in his life, and I'm going to tell you something. He had tried everything he could to fill it. He had tried to fill it with money. He had tried to fill it with pleasure. He had tried to fill it with experience. He had tried to fill it with things. He had tried to fill it with power. He had tried to fill it with everything the world said is necessary to be happy, and yet this cat was still miserable. He was still miserable. Well, let me tell you something. The only thing that can fill that hole in a person's life is Jesus. He's the only thing that can fill that hole. And without Him, you'll never fill that hole. I don't care how much you do, how much you have, what you possess, that hole will never get filled without Him. And without Him, you'll never know what real joy is. But let me tell you, because we get saved, what happens? The Holy Spirit comes and lives within us. And then the Spirit begins to develop these things called the fruits of the Spirit. One of the fruits of the Spirit is this thing called joy. Guess what? Can't have it without Jesus. Not going to happen without Jesus, but the Bible talks about this. It says, the Lord says, that He wants our joy to be what? Full. Now, I'm going to tell you what I've noticed. There are a lot of joyless Christians. A lot of unhappy Christians. I'm going to tell you why. I know why. Because their life is more about them than it is about Him. It's just that simple. They haven't yielded everything to Jesus, and therefore, they lack joy. Just because you're saved doesn't mean that your joy is instantly full. Because that's just not the truth. If you want your joy to be full, there's something you got to do. And that is, you got to give everything to Him. That's how your joy gets full, okay? We got to know Him as our Savior, and then we got to live for Him, not ourselves. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I am speaking from experience here, what I'm about to say. And I hate to admit this. This lesson, I talked about this on a Wednesday night here just not too long ago. This is a lesson that took me a whole lot longer to learn than I want to tell you about, okay? I'm kind of ashamed that it took me as long as it did to learn what I learned. But I finally learned it, and I know it. I'm going to share with you what I know today. Here's what I know. After you're saved, the only way to experience the fullness of His joy is to completely and totally live for Him. And that means you've got to yield yourself to His will, even when His will isn't your will. That means that you can have no affection for the things of this world, but rather your heart is set on Him. It means that you got to see people the way He does, and that you're more interested in serving others than you are serving yourself. It means that you have to acknowledge His divine ownership over all that you are and all that you have. And it means that you have to completely and totally yield to Him as the Master and Lord of your life. Trust me when I say that when your life is more about Jesus than it is about you, then and only then will you know what real joy is. I've had times in my spiritual life where I've been miserable, just like this guy, because my prayer life became a list of things I wanted from God. Lord, I want this, and I want this, and I want this, and I want that. And I'm going to be honest with you, everything I was asking for was good things. And a lot of things I was asking for weren't even for me, but it was like, Lord, I expect You to do this, 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 and then God never did it. And then I got upset, and then I got mad, and then I got miserable. I'm like, Lord, why aren't You answering my prayer? Your word said, Lord. I even argued with God one day about this, Jeff. I said, Lord, Your word says You have not because You asked not. Lord, I've been asking, where is it? Boy, I got hateful one day with God. Been a while back. But I finally learned something. If I'll say, well, Lord, You have divine ownership over me, over my life, over everything that I am, over my gifts, my talents, my possessions, everything. God, You just do with it what You want to do with it. And I said, Lord, Thy will be done. Forget what I want now, Lord. You just do what You want to do in my life, and I'm just along for the ride. Let me tell you something. When I really began to pray that and mean that, I really begin to see God do some tremendous things in my life. And I'm going to tell you something. Things God has been doing as of late in my life and my ministry in this church are better than anything I could even think to ask for. See what happens when you just trust Him? He does far and above what we can even, the Bible says that, don't it? He'll do far and above what we can even think to ask for. But in order for that to happen, you've got to let Him do what He wants to do, which means you've got to yield yourself to Him. But if you insist on making your life more about you than it is about him, you, like the rich man going through this life, going to be miserable. And I'm going to tell you something. If you make it more about you than it is about him, I'm going to tell you, no matter what you do, no matter what you accomplish, no matter what you possess, you're never really going to experience the fullness of God's joy in your life until you figure out how to yield everything to him and let him be in control. That's when real joy sets in. So let me ask you something, friends. Do you spend more time talking about what you've done for him, or you spend more time bragging about what he's done for you? If your focus is on what you're doing for him, and I'm going to tell you something, your life's more about you than it is about Jesus. What's truly the most important thing to you in this world, the things of this world or the things of God? I'm telling you, if things like money and possession and power are what you are seeking today, then you are definitely a person whose life is more about you than it is about him. And what about other people? Do you view them the way he does? Are you burdened for them? Will you minister to others? Or are you only concerned with serving yourself? If you are not treating others in the way that you would treat him, because after all, he said, what you've done to the least of these, you've done to me. Honey, if that ain't true of you, then your life is definitely more about you than it is about him. Let me ask you, have you truly surrendered everything to the Lord? And I mean everything. Let me tell you something. I had somebody try to tell me, well, I've surrendered 99% of my life to Jesus, but there's just this one thing I got to keep. Let me tell you the truth about that person. 99% surrendered is not surrendered at all. Either you're completely surrendered to Jesus or you ain't surrendered at all. It's one or the other, friends, but it can't be both. We have to surrender everything to him and allow him to truly be the master and Lord of our lives. Otherwise, friends, our lives are definitely more about us than they are about him. And what about your joy? Is your joy full today? I promise you, friends, your joy will never be full until your life is more about him than it is about you. To quote John the Baptist, he must increase and we must decrease. If you find today that you have too much in common with this rich young man here in Matthew 19, my best advice to you is come to this altar today and do some real soul searching. My advice to you today is come and confess that to the Lord and come today and just tell the Lord, Lord, I'm yielding everything to you. From this moment forward, Lord, you do whatever you want to do in my life, and I'll praise you no matter what it is. That's how your life becomes more about Jesus than it is about you. The rich man eventually found out there's a heavy price to pay for putting self over the Lord. And that old boy robbed himself of so many good things in this life that he could have had he simply given everything to Jesus. Are you like me? You ever wonder how this story would have turned out had he actually done it? We don't even know this guy's name, do we? We just know he was a rich young man. Then he died and he left it all to someone else. How do you think the story might have turned out if he said, okay, Lord, I'll do it? How do you think it might have turned out if he'd have gone and sold everything like Jesus said and give it all to the poor and followed Jesus like he said? How do you think his life would have been better or worse? He'd been a lot more joyful. He wouldn't have been near as miserable. We might even know his name today had he done that. There might even be a gospel written by him. Who knows? I've often wondered how his story would have turned out if he had just had the good sense to put Jesus over self. But he couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. And I'm going to tell you something. If you make the mistake he made, I promise you, you'll suffer the same fate he suffered. So be careful, friends, and give it all to Jesus. Yield yourself and your life to him, and make sure today that your life is truly more about him than it is about you. And if you'll do that, your life will be blessed, you'll have joy, and as Jesus said here in verse 21, you'll lay up treasures in heaven, things that will be eternal. But those things happen only as our lives become more about him than they are about us. He must increase. We must decrease. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, I think about this young man, Lord, and it burdens me because he was right at the precipice of having everything.
But he put the things of this world, he put himself over you. And he went through this life miserable. But worse yet, Lord, he probably died and went to hell. Because he could not yield himself to you. Lord, I pray today if there's one here in this congregation who's never truly yielded themselves to you and called on you for salvation and put their complete faith and trust in you for that salvation, I pray today, God, they will come and make that most important decision before it's too late. Father, even after we're saved, Lord, our joy is often anything but full. Often, Lord, I see people who are God's people who are also miserable because they fight you, Lord, for control of their lives. I pray today, Lord, if there's anyone here today fighting you for control of their life, Lord, I pray today they would come to this altar. I pray they would confess it to you. And I pray, Lord, right now they would yield everything to you and truly allow you to rule their lives. Lord, your plan for our lives is so much better than our own. Your word tells us, Lord, that you have thoughts toward us that are good and not that are evil, and that you want to bring us to an expected end, and you do. You have a plan for our lives, Lord, and the only way we're truly going to have a fullness of joy is if our lives are in the center of your will. And so, Lord, today, if we find we have anything in common with this rich man, I pray, Lord, we'd come and confess that to you, that we would repent of it, turn from it, and truly, Lord, yield ourselves to you, that our lives indeed would be more about you than they are about us. I pray, Lord, we would all have John the Baptist attitude of he must increase and I must decrease. Lord, I pray today that he will increase, that we will decrease, and that he will truly be Lord of all things. Now, Lord, have your way in this invitation. If there's those that need to come, and I trust that there are, I pray they'd come and deal with whatever's on their heart with you today. I pray, Lord, that you would have your way in each and every heart, each and every life, have your way in each and every home, and, Lord, have your way in this church. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for all that you've done for us, and we thank you most of all for Jesus, our Savior, and the great salvation he's made possible for us. And we ask all these things in his name.